This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in on a Competition Wednesday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. That Odyssey app where you can hear Commanders and Eagles on some stations tomorrow night, I think. Westwood One, although it might be blacked out here in D.C. But either way, Ross Tucker's going to be on the call. He's going to join us coming up 5 o'clock. What a tease that was, Anthony. Professional start to the show. Just absolutely killing it.
Typical Wednesday start, you know?
Yeah, just, hey. We picked up 2 yards at 2nd and 8. Ross Tucker's going to join us at 5 o'clock. We're pretty pumped about that. Special Wednesday edition of Never Read the Comments. Coming up at 4:30. So if you're usually a 4 o'clock hour listener and you get home at 5 and you're always like, man, that Never Read the Comments thing, y'all typically do at 5:30 on Thursday. Sounds really fun. You get to hear it coming up in half an hour. But we start with breaking news. I said breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, snap, news is broken. Breaking news.
Brian Robinson's playing, boys and girls. Yeah! Hey, Chris Russell, who's looking at me very confused. Did you hear Brian Robinson is playing? Chris has got a big smile on his face. I thought he was going to come in here. He's not.
Oh, there he is.
You see him walking? He was staring at me like, why are you yelling?
It looks lost.
He does look lost. Sometimes that feels a little more metaphorical. Sometimes it feels literal. With our good friend, the Rooster. Anyway, the point is, Brian Robinson does not have an injury designation going into the game. He was a full participant today in practice. He is listed not on the injury report, full go. He is set. That's the good news. The bad news is Marshon Lattimore's not playing. Boo! Or maybe even, aw, rats. Either way, that's going to cause some problems. The other thing, the in-between, is the top three tackles on the team are all listed as questionable. That is, Andrew Wiley, Brandon Coleman, and Cornelius Lucas are all listed as questionable. I would assume all three of them are available. I assume all three of them can play. Maybe you go back to the rotation for Lucas and Coleman just for the sheer like preservation. Maybe it's Coleman full-time. We're not going to go till into the game tomorrow. Obviously, expect Trent Scott to be active as well. He's been active even when he is the fourth tackle for a lot of games this year. They use him as kind of an extra guy, extra tight end in some heavier personnel groupings. But expect Andrew Wiley to be back, hopefully. Expect Brandon Coleman to play through what he's playing through. And I expect Cornelius Lucas to be available. Out tomorrow also is Austin Seibert. Zane Gonzalez will be kicking for the second straight week. And then the other guy that's out is Nick Ballore, who has been really, really good. It's funny because I think most people still associate him with those penalties against the Giants in his first game as a Commander. But he's actually been the special teams demon that he was hyped up to be and was brought in to be. So they'll be without one of their best special teamers against the Eagles tomorrow night. Eagles have everyone back, including Jordan Mailata, I believe, is ready to go. He was very, very coy earlier in the week about his status, but he's been a full participant in practice. Like, you don't go full not playing. So I would expect Jordan Mailata to get out there unless they just feel like, hey, it's too risky on a short week. We want to get him a full week of practice. But we are awaiting the Eagles injury report. Actually, Anthony, can we double check and see if the Eagles have officially put out their injury report?
Yeah, I was going on Twitter right now, actually.
Okay.
Check that.
Or you think they're twitter.com/Eagles?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's what they are. Injury report. We got status. That's Wednesday's. We have game statuses. Come on, Eagles. What are we doing? Devontae Smith, limited participant. Nakobe Dean, full. Goddard, full. Huff, full. Mailata, full. Slay, full. They're supposed to... 12 minutes ago. We have activated tackle Jordan Mailata from injured reserve. So, yeah. Eagles are back on the injury front. So what does this all mean for the game? That's the updates. Here's the analysis. For the Eagles, it means, God, they're disgusting offensively. I mean, they got dudes at almost literally every position playing top, certainly top half football, if not top 10, if not top 5. Like, wide receiver ones, there ain't a lot better in the league than A.J. Brown. We know that Devontae Smith, when it comes to wide receiver twos, one of the absolute best in the league. He'd be a wide receiver one on both teams, or on most teams. Dallas Goedert, top 10 tight end probably in the NFL, especially as a pass catcher. He's actually also been, I was looking at some of the next-gen stats this morning, they're averaging a lot more yards per run, and their success rate and everything is higher when he is on the field. So he's actually playing pretty good, well-rounded football this year. Saquon, it's he or Derrick Henry is the offensive player of the year, non-quarterback division in the NFL. That's how good he's been. Jalen, he's actually probably technically the weak link. We can circle back to him in a second. But he does some things very, very, very well. He's a good football player. He's just a very unique football player. And that wouldn't work a lot of places. Thankfully for them, he works there. And then across the offensive line, Mailata, all pro. Landon Dickerson, top 5 guard in the league. Cam Jurgens, young center. He's not as good as Jason Kelce was, but he's a good player. Mekhi Becton. Anthony, you remember Mekhi Becton?
Yep, the Jets drafted him, right?
Yeah, and he just absolutely stunk. Guess what he is now?
Right guard?
He's a right guard for the Eagles, and he's killing people.
Yeah.
He's like 370 pounds, and he just is a road grader.
Mm-hmm.
I literally saw him just run over a couple dudes last week, and you're like, oh, that would be terrible. And like against a guy like Johnny Newton or Daron Payne, who's a little undersized, like it's about quickness versus power. Oh, my God. What a mismatch that is, and we'll see which way it favors. But, whew, Mekhi Becton, and then Lane Johnson's going to the Hall of Fame as a right tackle. So outside of, like, slot receiver, where they've got John Dotson, and Jalen Hurts, who is up and down but is playing very up over the last couple weeks, like, this is an elite, elite, elite offense. And the thing about how they play is it's very isolation basketball. And the reason that it works is because when you play isolation basketball, if you've got Steph Curry or LeBron James or, you know, pick your superstar and you can create one-on-one matchups, they're going to win them more times than not. If you are not one of those teams, you don't have those players, you're going to need to win with schematics, which is kind of how Washington operates. But because they've got so many good players, because Jalen Hurts throws outside the numbers really, really well, and because his propensity to hold on to the football, where he has the longest time to throw in the NFL at 3.11 seconds. That is like a full half second faster than you would ever coach anybody to hold the ball. But because that is covered by all that offensive line talent, he gets away with it. And by the way, some of that is a boost in number because he does run and occasionally run to throw. So he's back there for a long time, and then you go chase him, and then he starts taking off running, and if he finds someone down the field, he'll loft the ball to him and let them do the rest from there. But he's also a very dangerous scrambler. He's got twice as many explosive runs this year already as he did all of last year per Next Gen Stats. So, yeah. The good news is, on the other side of it, Washington can now, with Brian Robinson back, keep that offense off the field a lot more than they did the last couple of weeks, where they had a lot more trouble sustaining drives. They also do not play with the discipline that, say, Pittsburgh does defensively. So Jaden is a runner, should be back in play. And so there's a lot to look forward to, I think, offensively that has high potential. But let's not get it twisted. When it comes to the rosters, Philly has the way better roster. But Washington, I think, has the significantly better, I won't say significantly better, has the better coaching staff. They use their talent better. They are less susceptible to streakiness, but at the same time, the streak that Philly is on right now is a heater, and Washington has an enormous, gargantuan task on their hands tomorrow night. We're going to continue to talk about it, not just today, but tomorrow, and obviously we'll talk about what happened coming up 5 o'clock on Friday, or sorry, 4 o'clock on Friday, right at the start of the show. Ian Eagle will join us. He's calling the game with Ross for Westwood One. Ross Tucker joining us at 5 o'clock today. So we got the preview, we got the review, we got everything in between right here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Never Read the Comments special edition on a Wednesday here on this short week. Coming up in about 10 minutes from right now, 11 minutes from right now. But want to let you hear from Dan Quinn, who first gave some of the injury updates that you heard, but also made a special announcement today as he got his press conference started.
All right, guys, I'll get rolling with you today. Captains, offensively, Ertz, and defensively, Samer still, and on the special teams, J-Mac. And all these guys, man, they bring a lot to our team in lots of different ways and standards and competing. And so we're all pumped to see these guys get this op. I'll rule three players out. That will be Ballore, linebacker Nick Ballore, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, and kicker Austin Seibert. All the rest of the guys practiced, and we'll huddle up tonight and see how they do. But those are the three that that won't play, ruling them out today.
So we told you about the injuries. Zane Gonzalez is going to kick. Someone else will run down really fast on special teams and like a maniac and hopefully bring some energy and make some tackles. They haven't had a problem with as Dan Quinn says, a deep crew in that department this year, although Ballore's been very, very good. And last but not least, not having Marshawn Lattimore sucks. Like that just prevents them from doing some of the things they want to do. And that is an unfortunate reality of where they are. It is still worth it to have made that trade. He is someone that they like. Thing is with the hamstring, if you re-injure it, it's basically start the clock over. And so if he were to play two quarters and injure it in the third, you got two quarters, cool. But then you're talking about another month. And by that point, you're almost at the end of the season. Where if you wait one more, yeah, he's missed two games, but you don't miss four or five, or two games for the Commanders. And in part, he might only be missing them because it's a Thursday. He might have been ready by Sunday, but they're playing on Thursday, and such is the breaks. I love the fact that they are making Zach Ertz a captain for this game. This will be Ertz's first time with the Commanders playing in Philadelphia, of course, as you probably don't need reminding that Ertz has been or was a long, long time Eagle. That is the franchise that, you know, I don't know that Zach Ertz is a Hall of Famer, but he's pretty close. Like, he's a name that'll make like the quarterfinalist list and some of those lists and then never quite get in. Like, but he's had that kind of career. And if he went in, he'd go in as an Eagle because those were his best years and that's where he was at the peak of his powers. But I think it just goes to show, too, that, like, yeah, he had a really bad drop last week. But who he is on a day-to-day basis and what he's brought to this team is worth honoring. DQ is like, yeah, you know, this is the week. And I think there's been some intentional choices with some of these, whether guys facing former teams or, you know, guy steps up, makes a play. Guys, obviously, you're doing stuff behind the scenes that maybe we don't even know about. I'd be curious to know, like, what the impetus was for Sainristill still to get it this particular week. So, you know, maybe it's the way Mikey kept his cool after Pickens lost his mind. Maybe that's that, you know, that plus the other ways in which he shows toughness is something that Dan Quinn wants to highlight. But no matter what it is, those are your captains for this week's game. Obviously, the bigger thing in there is the injuries and Brian Robinson and kind of what his status is. So Dan Quinn asked about his starting running back and the, you know, his wellness this week and for this game.
Yeah. Today was the day to get speed, and so that was a good sign to see him and the rest of his teammates really get running. It was a kind of a ramp up, John, as you go. Think of a slower on Monday, a little faster yesterday, but today's the day you hit the marks to go up, and so he did a good job with that.
So that's good. Hamstring, you know, hey, as long as it goes well, apparently it went well enough that they're not even bothering with a questionable. They're just flat out saying, like, he's playing. So that's obviously good. As for some of the other key questions that we have, you know, there was a lot of mistakes that were made in last week's game, and some of them have been fairly well highlighted. Obviously, we'll talk about it. Never Read the Comments, because it seems like that's all anyone wants to talk about is like Benjamin St. Juice. What do you do with him? If it was up to many of you watching and listening, you'd cut him and probably throw him in the Potomac because that's how many of you feel. I don't think that's a rational response, but sports radio, not exactly where we go for rational responses. But also a guy like Alamide Zaccheaus, or as he's known to Shane and Oxon Hill, Anthony, Olamide. Olamide Zaccheaus.
What'd you say about him?
As he's known to Shane and Oxon Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Anthony's over there monitoring something else. I shouldn't have put... I put Anthony in a bad spot. That was a bad job by me.
All good.
Has he started talking yet?
So they're finishing up the vote right now.
Okay.
And then I think they'll get to it.
We're at a place where we're having to watch the Senate today because Steve Daines is going to talk about the old logo and the Blackfoot logo. And I don't want to have to care about what Steve Daines says as I do my sports talk radio show day before the biggest game of the year from so far from a divisional rival standpoint. And yet here we are. Anyway, apropos of none of that, Olamide Zaccheaus, he muffed a couple punts. And it'd be really easy on a roster with Luke McCaffrey and Mike Sainer still, who both can return kicks. Jamison Crowder is somewhere in the wings recovering from his hamstring injury. I don't know how hurt he actually still is or whether they just are like, we don't really have a roster spot for you, so just stay put for right now. But they could make that move. There's other guys on this team that could return punts. So what's his personal philosophy on giving a guy like Zaccheaus a second chance at not only in the game, but to continue to be the guy moving forward?
Well, I think you have to look at the whole body of work in terms of the work ethic, what you've seen before. And so, you know, when you're going through it, you want to make sure there's not a pattern that comes up. And if that's the case, then okay, then it's somebody else's role to do that in punt return. But there's also a lot of work and trust that's been put into that. And so that's really where I look at it. And I'm at the top of everything, like protecting the team. And so that's where
So as long as he thinks he's still working hard and still, you know, doing the right things to get it corrected, and he's going to say, like, there's a reason that guy was our number one pick at that spot. And, you know, obviously by nature, if you pick someone else, you're downgrading. But I think the thing in protecting the team is, you got to protect the football. Like, we know that ball is life and that it, you have to protect it at all costs. And, you know, you guys used to scream about, oh, God, who was the punt returner used to fair catch it all the time? Who was here a little couple years ago? So forget about it.
Oh, Dax Mill?
Yeah. Bet you would have wished you had Dax Mill on Sunday because at least he would have caught it. But, like, that's kind of the thing. And a lot of coaches just take that philosophy to its Dax max, if you will. Just as long as they catch it. But I think OZ gives you more than that. He's a guy that makes good decisions, you know, gets positive yardage in the eyes of the coaches. But I think he has caught some inside the five this year. I don't know. I'd rather have Crowder back there if they can find a roster spot for him. I kind of like to see what Sainer still could do, to be honest. But I think he's become too valuable on defense. I'd mess around with McCaffrey back there, but they see this every day. And Larry Izzo is really smart, and Dan Quinn's really smart. So if they think OZ is the best guy, I just kind of have to go. They got the information on that one. But I guarantee you, if there's any more issues with ball handling, then maybe that equation changes a little bit because they will be. They're not stubborn. They're not easily moved, but that's different. And being resistant to overreacting is different than completely stubborn. And I think they've mostly been on the right side of that equation this season in a lot of different facets, and they deserve the benefit of the doubt because of that. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, a very special Wednesday edition of Never Read the Comments. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Where you can watch the show every single day for all 3 hours. You can also watch our show on demand in the pieces that we cut up and post. You can leave comments on them. You can also do the same on the pieces part. We don't stream live on my YouTube page, but the highlights are there at Craig Hoffman. Full episodes of Take Command are at the Team 980 and at 106.7 The Fan. And all that commenting that you guys do on the digital video side. And I've started to include, by the way, some more of our social media comments as well in this segment. Winds up in...
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
So that's how it goes. Whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube, most of these from YouTube. We've got a couple TikToks in there. Today, we take your comments, we read them, we react here on The Hoffman Show. So, with that said, Anthony, are you ready to go on this here edition of Never Read the Comments?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, like we always start with, or we always like to start with an amuse-bouche. Just something a little different, something a little off the wall before we dive into the substance of everything. At JasonMar8 commented on the most recent episode of, or I guess what was at the time the most recent episode of Take Command. Our Eagles preview, I think, is up now. But he goes, "What's up, boys? Go Commanders. I had a dream last night. Logan broke into my house. Blank was wild."
You said Logan?
Yeah. Broke into his house. I kind of want to call Logan and read him that comment.
That is a little concerning.
Yeah, I don't know what what other, like, were you watching a crime TV show listening to Take Command before bed? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a little spooky. I mean, Halloween season did just conclude, so I don't know.
I feel like Logan could pull off a pretty scary Halloween costume if he wanted to. He's a big bearded man.
Yeah, I think he could also pull off Justin Bieber's Michael Myers. He has the build and like stature. Pretty tall guy.
He's all 6'5 of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking as we were walking out of the stadium on Sunday. And he's like, "Yeah, walking around here, just, you know, getting a lot of these crowds and it's hard to get anywhere." I'm like, "Yeah, this is the place you're most famous on the planet and you're not exactly someone who blends in." He's like, "Yeah." And then like half the time he's walking with Smoot and Santana and B. Mitch, and those dudes are getting flagged by everyone. It's like, "Oh, the big white guy, that's Logan, right?" So that's where we start today. "What's up, boys? Go Commanders. I had a dream last night. Logan broke into my house." Jason, keep sharing your dreams, and I hope you have better dreams. All right, let's dive into the football of it all. We emptied the Steelers notebook in our first and 10 segment, Steelers Commanders, first and 10 on Monday. And one of my least favorite commenters, Brandon Crittenden, 39-39. I don't know why I keep giving him attention, Anthony. He just consistently is bad. Some people, if you just leave consistently bad comments, I'm eventually just going to mute you. So, you know, Brandon might be on notice, but for now he's making the segment because I thought I want to answer his question. I want to respond to his criticism.
Is he getting an asterisk next to his name?
Yeah, kind of, for our tier rankings. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I asked the question in our first and 10, like, how much different is the game really if Ertz is credited with the first down, they kick a game-winning field goal? Like, obviously, it's enormously different in the standings. The win is everything at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how you get it. Beg, borrow, cheat, steal. Get the dub. Get out of town. Cool. Or at this point, you know, protect home turf. Cool. You're 8-2. You're in first place. Going to Philly. Everyone feels better. All that stuff is true. But he goes, how much different? What are you talking about, man? You're the moral victory king. Here's the thing. Some of y'all just want, if they win, everybody's awesome. Jaden's the MVP. Dan's coach of the year. Adam's executive of the year. Everybody's the greatest. Give them all raises and lifetime contracts. And if they lose, then everybody sucks. Everybody needs to get fired. And there is no nuance or room for analysis. But the thing is, I realize that is a very small portion of the fan base. And if you want to be obtuse enough to out yourself as one of those people on the internet, that's fine. We'll highlight you and call you out and everyone can laugh at you because it's a very silly thing. Because here's the other part of this. It's not that the win or loss doesn't matter. It's just that when we evaluate the game itself and we say this was good or this was bad, that doesn't change based off of the end result. Someone can make a good play in a blowout loss. It doesn't mean it meant anything significantly, but the play itself, which is the way that you break down film, which is what we were doing in the video that this comment was left on, or as we evaluate the performance, which is what we were doing in the video this comment was left on, like, hey, so-and-so did some good things. So-and-so did some bad things. This was heinously bad. This was ridiculously good. I wish they did more of it. None of that is described as moral wins or losses. It's just good or bad. The thing itself exists in a way that is good or bad. And being able to say that out loud doesn't mean that I am the moral victory king. I'm not like, and because of that, they should feel good about losing. No, it's like, hey, so-and-so did a, let me try to think of someone who did a particularly good job. It's kind of hard in that. Terry McLaurin. Terry had an awesome game against Pittsburgh. He should feel good about that if he wants to. But at the end of the day, they lost. So Terry can still have had a good game without being like, and Terry, he should not feel like a loser today. No, he's a part of the team that lost. He, whatever feeling like a loser is to Terry, he's going to feel that. So you and your moral victory nonsense, bye-bye. See ya. You have the asterisk from the tier rankings. Remind me of that and next time I get annoyed by one of his comments, Anthony.
I got you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next up, Dion Wells, 2859, responding to our talk about complimentary football. And he said, well, it's the defense's job to get off the field also, and allowing a team over 50% on third down falls on them, not the offense. Here's the thing. It's almost like we have extensive evidence that the two are related. That perhaps if the offense can sustain drives and the defense is fresher and has to face less possessions, there's a better chance that they perform better on third downs, which are late in drives. And if you are tired, it's probably harder to play that third down better. And perhaps if you were fresher, you would play first and second down better and not have as difficult of a task on third down. We know this based off of the 104, 105 year history of the NFL. Like, we know that's how this works, that complementary football is a thing. We know it based off human physiology and sight and, you know, it's like sports science. Fatigue is real. And so if you are well rested, you will perform better. And so, yes, ultimately is the defense's job to do the defense's job, but to pretend like the defense wasn't affected by the offensive not holding up their end of the bargain on Sunday is, I think, inaccurate analysis. And again, it's not about moral wins or moral victories or whatever. It's just it's analysis. It's evaluating what happened. And the reality is the offense really let the defense down on Sunday in a way that they really haven't all season long. Continuing on, never read the comments here on The Hoffman Show, where we, you know, read the comments. Our pal Mitch Tischler was with us yesterday, and we talked about both the offensive line and we got into the defensive backs as well. So we'll get to the Benjamin St. Juice of it all in just a moment. But Joseph Boone, J2T, he brought up a point, Ant, that I want to touch on, because I talked about how I didn't think Brandon Coleman played particularly well. And he goes, Brandon Coleman was not bad against Pittsburgh. Stop it. How bad was the receivers for dropping easy passes? If Zach Ertz caught that slant route and got a first down, it would have been over for Pittsburgh, scored before Pittsburgh scored their last TD. One, not necessarily. That would not have sealed the game, the Zach Ertz drop there in the second half. But more importantly, on the Brandon Coleman front, like, I understand on television that the only thing they show is the ball. The game is more than the ball. And this is what kind of, I think, irritates me sometimes, and it goes into the St. Juice stuff as well, is, yes, when the ball is thrown at St. Juice, I am not going to for a second argue that that is a good thing for Washington. He's giving up over 100 passer rating. He's giving up a bunch of yards. Like, not good. But there's a bunch of snaps within games where, you know, he's doing a lockdown job. That is the nature of cornerback. It's the nature of defense. You can have a really bad game where you play well on 90% of the snaps, but if those 10% are really bad, like, yikes. You know, defense is hard. You have to be... The level, the threshold is really, really high. And obviously, like, Juice has not met that in a number of games this season. There's a bunch of others where he has, and they have been one of the best pass defenses in the league the last 6 weeks, and he was on the field for that. So, like, both things can exist. But in terms of Coleman, it's like, oh, the receivers dropped the ball. That's what happened. It's like, one, multiple bad things can happen. Two, just because you saw the receiver drop the ball doesn't mean that the offensive lineman that you weren't paying attention to didn't also have a bad day. People tend to watch the ball, which means if they don't give up 7 sacks, they think the offensive line had a good day. But how many of those balls were just a little bit off? And I'm not saying the receiver shouldn't have caught them, but they're a little bit off. They're a little bit behind. They're a little bit hot. They're a little bit ahead. A lot. A lot. Way more than Jaden is typically throwing. And you want to know why?
Because the offensive line gave up pressure. Because he was under attack and under duress. Because he was sped up. Because guys like Brandon Coleman were getting bowled over, falling on their butts, thanks to Alex Highsmith, on a fairly regular basis.
The game is more than the ball. There's a reason that coaches say we got to watch the tape. And I think sometimes that can be an excuse. I hear you. Sometimes it's like, I don't need to watch the tape. Like, we saw what happened. Okay, fine. I didn't need to watch the tape of the St. Juice play. 3rd and 9 at the end. I saw it on the replays. He was flat-footed. Bang, bang. Party's over. Nothing else to see there. But, like, we don't spend all this time watching the tape because it's useless. And the professionals who get paid millions of dollars and want to keep those million-dollar jobs to do this don't spend all the time watching the tape because it's useless. And so I just think that we have to accept that the game is more than we see on TV. It's more than the ball. And multiple bad things or good things can happen. Nothing is 100% anybody's fault in a 150-snap football game where 22 guys are on the field at all times. Steps off high horse. Steps off soapbox.
No, I think you made a lot of good facts. I think both things can be true. But if we're being honest, I think Jaden Daniels also, you know, helped his lineman out. And I think that's the good thing about, you know, having a guy that's mobile. I think if this is Sam Howell, you know, probably would have had more sacks. But
dude, if Sam Howell was playing in that game against Pittsburgh, like, we're literally talking about a 9-sack day.
Yeah, it would have been a super long day. But Jaden Daniels' mobility does help those guys out. And first play that comes to mind is Coleman gets beat like a drum by Highsmith. Jaden steps up, bounces out, and then tries to, you know, squeeze one into Luke McCaffrey on the sideline. That's a play made by Jaden Daniels. And, you know, Brandon Coleman ends up getting beat. So,
and then everyone's mad at Luke for the drop, even though the ball is a little bit behind him, which, like, Luke should have caught that ball.
Yeah.
It also could have been a better ball ahead of Jaden, uh-huh, or ahead of Luke instead of behind him, which is something Jaden has basically not done this year. And it all starts, to your point, because Coleman loses. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, and that's just one play, right? What if Jaden is not hurried on the big play from his own end zone to Luke?
Yep.
Like, Jaden hits that throw all the time. He's a little bit rushed. He throws it it's too line drivey. There's not enough air on it. Like, again, two plays that just show exactly what we're talking about here. So, yeah, that's that. On the Benjamin St. Juice front, Scriva85. You can't say he's their best corner and he's good and then ask why he's in that position. And I'm like, yeah, I can, because he's the best that they've got. That doesn't mean that he's actually good at corner. Like, good, great, above average, any of those. He's average. And so the fact that the best they have is average is a reflection of how they decided to build this roster, the trust they have in their staff. And Usain Rostil is ascending. Igbinoghene is, like, pretty average as well. Like, they're all kind of in the same bucket consistently. Like, who has the highest percentage of good snaps? St. Juice. Whose percentage of bad snaps are catastrophically bad? Also St. Juice, which makes him really confounding. But the thing is, he's also, you know, I said I would have probably not put him in that man-to-man position in that spot. I would have tried to have more safety help over the top, and Mitch and I talked about that. And it's kind of like saying that, hey, he's a good zone corner. He's good at playing cover two, playing the flat, being underneath a receiver with safety help over the top. Like, he can play that role really well. You don't say, like, oh, that's my best teacher. Well, okay, what does he teach? Math. Okay, cool. I want him to teach English today. And then, or let's flip it around. What does he teach? English. Well, I want him to teach math today. And then you don't get mad at him for messing up the Pythagorean theorem. Like, he's an English teacher. Of course he messed up the Pythagorean theorem. Anthony, pop quiz. What's the Pythagorean theorem?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
That is correct. And what is C squared? What are we measuring?
You said, what are we
measuring?
The longest side.
Yeah, the hypotenuse.
Yeah, the hypotenuse.
See, in a right triangle.
I don't remember all the.
This
the
is
word.
Literally the only thing I remember from geometry. I almost said geology or geography. Those were, I couldn't even remember the subject matter. But I had you fooled for a second to think I'm a big old nerd.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I kind of am a big old nerd, but that's really all I remember is that it's a right triangle. It's the fancy term is the hypotenuse, and it's A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Yeah.
And you want to know who shouldn't be teaching you about that?
You?
Correct. That is correct. Also, an English teacher.
Yes.
And so if Benjamin St. Juice is an English teacher, let's have him teach English. That's kind of what I was saying, the zone versus the man and the whole deal. William Davis, and then we get into like some specific criticism. Again, I've been critical of St. Juice. The problem is, I think for a lot of commenters, and we have someone call yesterday and try to, you know, be a troll or whatever, like, it's not that you can't criticize him, it's that your criticism is very, very silly, such as this. William Davis, 8855. Bruh, one interception in 4 years. St. Juice is our veteran corner, not our best. The others are rookies. One, Igbinoghene is not a rookie. By the way, Chigozie Anuzium got signed off their practice squad today to the Browns. Kind of low-key hate that. Wish they had elevated him because I think he's got some potential. But whatever. Cut Forbes, whatever. But back to William's comment. He goes, we need dogs. DQ said it. Lattimore says he is a dog. Terry is a dog. We need dogs, Mr. Hoffman. One, William, you can just call me Craig. It's fine. You don't need full Mr. Hoffman. Two, BSJ is a dog. Watch him play. Watch how physical he is. Watch the way he competes down in, down out. The problem is it's like a fighter who's willing to take on any fight, and then he gets punched in the face sometimes. He loses. He's a dog with no ball skills. Like, that is the problem. It's not the attitude. It's not the effort. It's literally the thing, one of the elements of his job he is extraordinarily bad at. And that has been true since college. He didn't have any picks in college either. I had a TikTok comment that was like, you can take the player out of Minnesota, but you can't take the Minnesota out of the player. And I thought that was very funny. Then you got stuff like this. Buddy Love on TikTok. He'd be a great special teams player. No disrespect to special teams, but this dude has zero ball skills and is a walking PI. The last part of this, yes, he has been a walking PI, zero ball skills. But part of the reason that he has had trouble this year is because he lacks top-end speed. Anthony, what is the number one thing you'd want for, say, a gunner on special teams?
Some speed.
So you're saying that Benjamin St. Juice is probably not a guy who needs to play special teams?
Pretty much.
What? By the way, do you need speed and ball skills to be a safety?
A little bit.
Yeah. So why are people saying he needs to switch to safety?
I don't know. Maybe they're slower than DBs. I mean, they're slower than corners. I don't know.
I thought first you were saying the commenters, are slower than DBs, and that was funny. That was funny. You were saying the safeties. Yeah, safeties don't need to have quite as much speed, but the best ones certainly do. And you need to have ball skills for sure because you're last man back. And also, he's lanky and kind of thinner body type. Not exactly the guy I want fitting runs in the middle of the field, although he does a good job of setting the edge and actually has become a pretty darn good run player. And then we had another one that was like, oh, he's a nickel. He's certainly not a CB1 or CB2. Nickel is an alignment, not a place on the depth chart. What? Again, I love the comments, but you don't have to.
I will say this to defend whoever just commented. On our initial, I guess, depth chart, we did have nickel position. Mikey Samer still, I think.
Yeah, no, we had Samer still as the nickel, not St. Juice.
Oh, yeah, not St. Juice. Okay.
Yeah. He can be your third outside corner. That does not make him a nickel.
Yeah.
A nickel is the guy that plays inside. Mm-hmm. And St. Juice actually played some nickel earlier in his career. He was okay at it. Probably better suited outside. Certainly body type, much more traditionally outside. Because, again, I don't necessarily want him playing the run. Let's see. What else do we got? This one I thought was funny. You know, we were talking in our meeting earlier. We had a meeting with our boss today, which is always fun. And it's okay. It's a regular meeting. We're not in trouble. But we were trying to figure out, like, who is BSJ? Like, what are some other guys that are like BSJ? I don't know if I like this, but I did find it funny. I like it. I don't know if it's accurate. I'll put it that way. Landis Mickashine, whatever your screen name is, 6492. In my opinion, BSJ is the Rex Grossman of corners. Just like Rex will guarantee you at least two picks a game, BSJ will give you at least two PIs a game. Maybe just one on a good day. He has his moments every once in a while, but he's frustrating to watch because he's too inconsistent. He seems to panic whenever he's getting beat on a route by the receiver, and he frequently risks getting a PI called on him. The more I think about it, the more I like it, Anthony.
I love it as well, but Rex Grossman also went to a Super Bowl. Granted, it might not have been him taking the team.
He went to the Super Bowl.
He went to the Bears.
Yeah. Like, Devin Hester kick returns was more potent than that Rex Grossman
offense. And that defense, too.
But, like, that's, like, Rex, pretty good most of the time. And then you're like, guy, why did you do that? And that is exactly the experience of watching Benjamin St. Juice. Really good most of the time. And then you're just like, but I just started to believe in you again. And then the bad thing happens. So the Rex Grossman of DBs. I kind of like that. I kind of like it. Last but not least, a couple of quick ones here. Actually, we don't even have time because we got Ross Tucker coming up. But we did have someone say, Craig, please make, in response to me getting petty about Shannon Oxenhill again last week, Craig, please make this an in-season segment, Petty Time with Craig. Should we just lean all the way in, Anthony?
Maybe for one of our comments in the comment section, I think we should save a space for one.
Okay, I think that's good. So just have to come back to Never Read the Comments next week. Normally Thursdays at 5:30. Obviously today a little bit different with the game tomorrow. Appreciate y'all commenting at Craig Hoffman at the Team 980 on YouTube. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Ross Tucker joins us talking Eagles, Commanders, Thursday Night Football.